everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving, and I mean mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many things to reveal to his people. I want to see more and more people receive what he has to say because I know it's good. Receiving God's word is where your faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar, but that word hearing and hearing, the word and hearing, hearing and hearing, you hear, you're interested to know. You hear and you're interested to know in order to receive. Hearing and hearing, that's where your faith comes from. When we take the Lord at his word and receive all that he has to say, we receive vision. We receive strategy. See, a lot of times people are looking at what's going on, like in the book of Revelation. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ to John to show him what would happen in the last days. And it is summarized what will happen. All of the sowing and what has been done, and much reaping has been done. Patterns have been set in motion. And now it's time for God to start the judgment process because of the wickedness, the wicked seeds that men have sown. The Lord's going to judge the world system for the blood that it shed. See, the world system gets in, it hinders people from knowing Christ. And judgment comes on those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, it's one thing when people don't know better. They don't know what they're throwing away. Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In order to hold the truth in unrighteousness, when you know better and don't do better, that's going to cause judgment. When you know it's true and you still won't listen, you still work against it, that's when the judgment process comes. But look at what has happened. Against many wars, all forms of warfare, religious wars were fought against the people of God, people who believed on Jesus Christ. In every age and against everybody's expectation, a nation called America was born, because many of the people, the founding fathers and many of the pilgrims, they had a heartfelt love for God. And there were many who loved God here. And our Constitution is derived of sermons. And it became, in a very short amount of time, a nation that was much stronger and wealthier than every nation on earth. And people who hate God's will, they despise, those who despise God, they despise Jesus. Those who despise Jesus despise those who are sent to preach his name, to preach his word. Anywhere there are atheists or homosexuals or people who love the world system, they have a problem with God, and they have a problem with Jesus. So they have a problem with those who love him. And the Lord is going to judge, because you can tell, see, Christians are not just people in another country or down the street. Sometimes your own loved ones, your own sister or brother, sisters and brothers and siblings and cousins and parents get saved and they start following God. And they see the change that's made. They see people walk in an unusual peace. And see, as we draw near to the Lord, it's obvious that God is with us. Those that were sick get healed. Those that had sorrow, they begin to have living joy and peace. And it's obvious. It can't be hidden. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. And as Christ is formed in people, then people have to take notice. They don't have a choice. You see it for what it is. And when people notice the move of God in the life of people that they know, then they begin to see a difference in the things of God. And they see what God can do in His people. And they don't know, but some people get saved because of the change that they see in their loved ones. And then there are those who get angry because God is moving in the life of their loved ones. And they wanted to believe that they didn't have to answer to God. So the Lord exposes the fact that He is through His people who love Him. And those that didn't want to believe in Him, they get frustrated. And the love of the world system is enmity against Christ and against the knowledge of God. Those who love the world system somewhere, they always have a problem with the Lord. And I want to see people know Him and understand His ways and prosper in every way of life. So when you follow God, when you go forward doing His word, your life begins to heal from the inside out. And everything of God has one thing in common. It starts in seed form. Every move of God starts in seed form. The word of God, it comes to us. It's introduced to us in seed form. And it grows. It develops. So when we receive God's word in our heart, then that word will help us to build our life and help us to renew our mind and go forward and not backwards. And we begin to make change. We begin to change from glory to glory. And when that process happens, people who once would have died, they begin to live and enjoy life on greater levels. So when you follow Him, the words that you hear helps you to live and prosper and grow. And I talked about the strategy of God. When you follow Him, God has a plan to solve every problem. Remember, God told Adam to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Well, the Lord our God and King is doing the very same thing. He's fruitful, He multiplies, He replenished the earth. He the one who gave us life to replenish the earth. And then He subdues it. And He has dominion over it. And because he subdued it and had dominion over it, He's got a plan for those who love Him. He's got a plan for those who follow through with Him. He's got a plan for those who rebel. He's got a plan for those who are an enemy against His sheep. He has a plan for those who are an enemy against His prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists. He has a plan, a systematic plan to divide light from darkness. He's receiving the light and He's driving out the darkness. Israel was supposed to drive out the Philistines and the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Ammonites and the Hittites and all the nations of Canaan land, and they didn't finish. But my friend, God will finish. He's not just going to drive out all of the Canaanites. Every form of rebellion will become a thing of the past. One scripture says, and one of the minor prophets said, that you will look, when the day will come, you'll look for an evil man and won't be able to find one. Not one. Daniel said that there would be an end to sin. That means the Satan is going to be locked after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, which is just one day with the Lord. After that 1,000 years, there's going to be another one, the last war, the battle of Gog and Magog. And the Lord's going to fight and destroy all of his enemies. There won't be any evil men left. See, people will still be born in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, just because Jesus is reigning on earth as the Son of God, people will still be born. And then they'll have to make up their mind to follow God, or they will rebel against him. See, when people live over the heart is something you have to treasure. You have to feel with God's word, or it'll get away from you. Now, in Adam's day, men lived almost 1,000 years. And this world, living in this world, if you don't seriously love God, the world system will harden your heart against him. God cut our time down to 70 years, actually 120 years. So the median lifetime of a man is 95 years. He said man won't live but 120 years, and in the days of Moses, 70 years, 80. The median lifespan of the average man is 95 years. Now, because men couldn't be trusted to live 1,000 years, you know, remember the curse. He said, the day that you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you should surely die. And Adam died at the age of 930 years. So, when you study the Word of God, he didn't last a day. A day to the Lord is 1,000 years. He lived 930 years, and he died. If he had lived 1,000 years, then God's word wouldn't have been true. But God knew what he was talking about. So he physically died. He finished dying at the age of 930 years. Now, by disobeying God, he allowed sin in the world. That's why Jesus had to come. We were born in sin, infected with sin, born in darkness. And the only way to kill it is to believe on Jesus. He's the only way to do something with our sins, to get rid of them. And you can't live in God's kingdom. You can't go to heaven. You can't go. And a man without Jesus Christ is half dead. When he stops breathing and his body dies, then he'll be destroyed by the second death. He'll be forever separated from the Lord. And that's not necessary to be forever separated from the Lord your God and King. We need to know him. We need to go on forward and know him and learn his ways, understand his ways, his principles, and be blessed. And you can. If you will. Those who cherish the word of God, as you receive it, you can live by it and you can go forward in him. It's my will to see people do the best they can, be the best they can be. The army used to say, be all you can be. Well, in the kingdom of God, you have the word of God. You can, if you receive it, And if you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and present your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit man, if you present your whole being to the Lord as a living sacrifice, He will help you make the best choices. He will guide you to His most perfect and holy will for you. Don't get distracted by what He give others to do, but be faithful in honoring what He gives you to do. Honor the Lord your God. Love Him. Receive His word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That denotes hearing. That's setting your affection, your attention on the Lord with determination. And I love Him. God is good, folks. And He has so much to say and share. Now, with all this in mind, sometimes people, the Lord is trying to introduce us to more and more. I'm always talking about the dynamics of following God ultimately, but the Lord is always systematically trying to get our attention. Sometimes He does miracles and wonders to arrest our attention. And when this happens, it's best to consider what He's done. Remember, Paul said in chapter 13, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that we see through a glass darkly. And the Lord's on the other side of that dark glass trying to get us to see Him. The more we see Him, the more we receive, the more He can clue us in on the greater things. Remember, we were born in sin, shaped by iniquity. In order for us to grasp the things of God, you have to hear and hear. You have to want to know His word. You have to desire it. You have to be even treasure it. And if you can treasure God's word more than anything else, you won't be distracted. If you really love God's word and you really want to know Him and you really desire to please Him and go forward, and then there's something out there else that you really love as well, and sometimes greater, you can be distracted by it. It could be a car. It could be a beautiful, loving woman. Or it could be a man, a hard-working, caring man. Anything that you see, anything can be on the top of your list. But if you treasure the things of God most, that's why He said, Jesus had to say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these wonderful things will be added to you. It's our responsibility to prioritize what we love. Now, if you really love something, that's fine. Just love God more. And then you can't be distracted. So many wonderful people are distracted by what they love more. The reason the things that they love more, you know, it's possible to love things more than you love God. That doesn't sound right on paper, but it's true. Some people, if they could just be married to this particular woman, they feel like that'll be, you know, that's a higher priority for them at some stages of their life. Or if they could just drive this car or work this job or have this house or whatever it is, there it can seem as if this is super important. But as you get to know the Lord for yourself, not just the God on the pages, but the same God on the pages that's interacting with your life. When you have a revelation of how much He loves you, you're motivated to love Him more. When you see what He's saying, when you hear Him out and receive His word, you're motivated to do even greater things, to love people people teach about loving people. We know it's right. It sounds right. It is right. But that's not on people's top priority list. Now, in Sunday school, one of the sisters said that she mentioned how Joyce Meyer's people buy all of her books except for the ones that teach you how to love God's people, each other, your husband, your wife, your people. The book that teach you how to love people, they leave it on the shelf. What does that say about our society? Now, when I learned, I didn't want to fail God. When I read the word, I saw how people kept failing and they kept doing things that God didn't want them to do. And then I always thought about me. I said, I want my life to honor God. And then, but I had a temper at the time. I was kind of feisty. And that was, you know, I would fight I would stand up for myself. Turning the other cheek was one of the areas I had to make some great adjustments. And I realized that I need to do this because I really want my life to honor God. It's too important. I said, I can inspire people to get saved if I can just obey God. And I didn't want to fail. So I was motivated to love God's people, so I asked the Lord to teach me how to love his people. And I learned to love him in his strength. And I found out that was the best decision I ever made in my life. The Lord gave me, as he gave me revelation about loving people, I value loving people. It became a part of who I was. It became more important, you know. Loving people became more of a priority than everything I desired. I'm not just making it up. I'm not trying to sound humble. As I learned more, I was more interested in loving God's people. It touched God's heart. And the Lord started teaching me things, waking me up and explaining things to me, helping me see people's side of things. He taught me to consider how people feel, consider other people's points of view. Now, my mother was that way. She was a very considerate woman. She'd look at people and she knew about what was bothering them. And I saw her do this. So I had a natural reference. But when the Lord started teaching me, I had a greater reference. My mother got me started. My parents got me started. My father was very dedicated to the Lord. And I believe that after World War II, it made him very sober, in my opinion. I used to wonder as a adolescent, why is he so dedicated to what he's doing? And he never complains, and he works hard. And on Saturday, I used to want him to take me fishing. He said, I got to prepare my sermons. And he would sit down there and study and write, and you can't understand his writing. I'm sorry. He writes like a doctor. When he was alive, he wrote like a doctor. I could not read it. But I thank God for his dad. I saw him do this. And children need to see their parents love and honor God in every way without complaining. And with dedication. Dedication is very important. Hearing is more important. But when you start learning from the Lord, you start seeing things, possibilities, spiritual things, and you say, "Oh, wow, that's good." And it causes you to want more, and you have and the priorities of God gets on the top shelf instead of the things you wanted in life. Don't stop desiring the things you really like. God has a plan for you to get what you want. Just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because God will bless you to understand things you just can't understand any other way. He will help you see what you don't see. And it's beautiful. Keeping the word of God, keeping the things of God on the top shelf. It's a discipline But it's really just loving God first. Responding to His wonderful love towards you. Your love for God mounts up. When He remains more important than everything else you love, you will see, you will be everything that you care about will be enhanced. If you sometimes people really love whoever they fall in love, they love this person so much, and the way that they see them, that person can be more important than their relationship with the Lord. The problem is going to be that if you love God more, if you're seeking the Lord in a greater way than you're trying to cater to this person, you will receive His wisdom and knowledge of how to love that person and how to be patient, because every person you know ultimately will fail you. They're going to do something that's going to cross you. But when you love God first, when you're seeking Him first, you know, continue to love people as much as possible. When you really, when you seek after the Lord, when you seek God first, you will be able to love them when they need you to the most. You'll seek to be a blessing, and you'll be encouraged by the Lord to seek to be a blessing to them when they're aggravating to deal with, when they need you the most, when they're frustrated. It's very important. And it takes all the pressure off them. It takes pressure off. It keeps you from putting pressure on them. Love them with His love and His strength. And these are things that I learned from the Lord, and as I learned it, I just practice it. Whatever you desire, whatever you are about to put on the top shelf, you know, whatever you desire in life, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of wisdom to attain it and maintain it. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's growing a business, buying a house, buying a car, it takes the efforts can be astounding. But just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added in this proper order. And then when you receive it, you will be able to enjoy it. And you won't depend on people and require things of people. You know, it's important not to require too much of people. Thank God for them. But seek to love them and don't require anything of them. And whatever they do that's a blessing to you, thank God for it. Wherever they are, the areas of life that they are a blessing to you, thank God for it. The areas of life that they don't, that they really just don't measure up to your expectation and satisfaction, just draw strength from the Lord and love them anyway. And if they receive the wisdom of the Lord, maybe they will attain it, maybe they won't. But God will not fail you. And His wisdom won't fail you. And He can cause you to do what's perfect. And remember, the things in this life where things are not perfect, you're going to live forever anyway. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord.